Is that, how's it okay, man? Are you okay with this?
I'm good.
Like, there was like 4,000 people lined up.
Yeah, no, it was good.
Is it okay? Like, yeah. you still enjoy it?
Yeah.
It's not too much?
No, that's it. That's what it's about.
You still enjoy it? Like, it's...
No, I think I enjoy it more when I'm hungover like that.
Do you?
No.
It's an, are you hungover right now?
Yes, but I'm back to normal. I've been drinking a little bit, so...
You feel good?
I feel good.
All right. Co Wetzel hanging out with us tonight. It's Radio Texas Live. I'm Buddy Logan. All right, El Paso, it's out. It's been out for, a month or so?
I think it's like 2 weeks.
Is that it?
Yeah, when did it come out? Like
2 weeks?
Yeah, it hasn't been that long.
Okay, it's been out like 2 weeks. It's got a great grunge, 90s, late 90s, early alt-rock, 2000s alt-rock. It may touch on country here and there, Co, but it's nothing obviously country about it.
Yeah, I told y'all that. I told y'all it wasn't going to be country music.
Are you tired of having to tell people that? it's like, what is this about? Like, why do you have to keep saying that over and over?
It's kind of like a conversation starter, and also it pisses people off at the same time. They're like, this is not country music. I'm like, I know that. I've told y'all that multiple times, and y'all refuse to listen. So, but no, we had some country-ish songs on the record.
Yeah,
we got this out. We got this out of the way. The sound that we've been doing. So. Now it's time to dig into the country genre.
It's happening.
And it is. It's happening.
Dude, you can't come back from this right now.
I know.
You can't drop your next album and say, sorry, guys, yeah. I didn't say it's not country.
Yeah. Well, that's the deal. Like, and I had an interview the other day with Apple, and we were talking about going into this country deal. And if I get in the studio and I'm not feeling it, then obviously I'm not going to put it out. You know, like, we're going to get in there and I can already see it. I'm going to feel that grunt, like that rock sound. And I'm like, all right, wait, maybe we'll just push the country out for it. Let's make some more of this sound stuff. So
that's what it is. It just feels good right now.
Yeah, it feels good. It feels like at the right time. So, we're going to give it hell and see what we come up with.
Co Wetzel hanging out with us, Radio Texas Live, and El Paso, man, it's good. All your albums have been good, but it seems like you found a next level. I don't know what it is, but somehow you connect with people, or people connect with you. The album, it can be uncomfortable,
yeah,
but you've got everyone cheering for you.
Yeah, that's weird, and that's another thing. Like, I have people reaching out, like, "Are you okay?
Yes, okay.
Is everything good? Is everything good at all?"
I think everybody in the world is worried about you.
Yeah, I know, and it's kind of like. Most of the songs were stuff that I wrote, you know, back in the day. Like, some of the tunes are older hits but just older songs that we kind of circled back around to. But yeah, I'm fine. I'm good.
Don't worry about Co.
Yeah, don't worry about Co. No, I got a bunch of good people around me, and they watch over and take good care of me. So
even fans, man, like, it's like every dude thinks you're their little brother, and they got to stick up for you. And every girl thinks she can save you. Hell, yeah. I think I can save you. I think I can save you. But it's clear with El Paso, Co saves Co.
Yeah, for sure.
I think you've made that clear. You got this.
It was just kind of luck. I don't know. It was very unapologetic, super raw, super real. And it was something that I like to do with the music. You know, like, I don't like to hold anything back. And El Paso definitely did that. But no, I appreciate everybody reaching out and being like, hey, are you good? Like, so I never have to worry about that. I'm straight. The record was, it is what it is, man. I just wanted to reach out to anybody that's going through stuff like that, you know.
Yeah.
And help them out, and hopefully it helps them, get through the next day. So, but yeah, all good on the whole front.
You're okay. Co's okay. Co's good. So there's been so much growth. Like, each album, you see the growth. Do you feel it?
I mean, yeah, in a sense, like, obviously, I never want to go backwards, but with this one, for sure, I felt the growth because it was something that we'd never done before. You know, it was something that was rock, and, you know, we're used to kind of touching on rock music and the alternative style, but with this one, we went all out and did stuff out of the norm, stuff we're not used to, stuff that people aren't used to hearing from us.
Do you have a favorite song?
Obviously, Yellow Bush Road. That one really hits home for me. It's just because, you know, it takes you back to East Texas. You know,
no
I grew
doubt.
Up in Pittsburgh, and I hardly ever get to come back home anymore. So
I like Yellow Bush Road. I like any song that shouts out radio.
Yeah,
and hating the fact your family's hating that you're cussing on the radio. There's something romantic about singing about the radio.
Yeah, for sure. And that one, Oklahoma Sun's probably one of my favorites. I went to Nashville. I was riding with Ernest, and we had a couple of different. Leads to songs, nothing was working. We were like, you know, the hell, let's go to the bar. Went to the bar, had a couple drinks, you know, got a little twisted off. And on the way back, he was like, let me play you this. And he plays the hook for Oklahoma Sun. And at the time, it was called Willie. And I was like, why are you calling it Willie? He goes, well, I wrote it for Snoop Dogg and Willie to come on and sing. And I was like, well, have they done anything with it yet? And he was like, no. And I said, do you mind if I take it and see what comes up? And he was like, yeah, absolutely, go for it. So
how much of the song did you write? Is it a lot of?
So it was just the hook. It was just the, I'm waiting on the storm, you know, and I just went in and put the verses over the top of it, and it turned out to be one of my favorites on the record.
It's a good one. And talking about growth, you know, took a look in the mirror, didn't like what I seen, mm-hmm. and it's obvious that you're reflective in this album.
Yeah, for sure.
Do you feel like you're in a different point in your life? I mean, you just turned 30. Well, I guess this was mostly written before you were 30.
It was before I was 30, and man, I don't know. It's like everything that I write is usually like what's going on at that time, or past experiences, or experiences from my friends or people that I'm around, you know, that are going through things. So I'll just take stuff from their lives and try to put my perspective on it. You know what I mean?
Coe Wetzel hanging out with us, Radio Texas Live. So I saw some pics. I saw a pic of that guy proposing to his girlfriend in front of you at a meet and greet. Your reaction was great, dude. It was so genuine. Like I think you were more excited and happy than the girl was.
Yeah. Well, we've had like two or three people do it, and usually they'll be like, oh, hey, listen, I'm going to propose to my girlfriend or my girl. And I've had some girls come up like, hey, I'm about to propose to my boy. And I'm like, all right, do what you got to do, you know? But that one, he just kind of whipped it out on me. I was, whoa. All right. Hell yeah. Cheers. You know, congrats. And they're like, will you marry me? I was like, well, I got to go get ordained first. But,
are you going to do it?
Probably not.
Probably not. Nah, it's too much. It's too hard.
I'm terrible with a microphone in my hand. I'm either singing a song or I'm telling a story, and I'm terrible at telling stories. So
you tell great stories, man.
Yeah, I know.
You come with some wild ones. what's the wildest things that were happening to meet and greet?
Man, no. I get a lot of older women that try to kiss me and stuff. And I was just like... And depending on how drunk I am, you know, I'll kiss
like lips,
back.
Like lips.
Oh yeah, full on wet, sloppy stuff, you know. And I'm kind of sitting there and just like, well, you know, where's your husband at?
Yeah, right. Has anybody ever shown you a completely inappropriate co-inspired tattoo?
Yeah, I've had one girl. We were doing a meet and greet, and she just dropped her pants right there. You know, she and there it was, plain as day. I had Co on one cheek and Wet's on the other. You know?
Really.
I was like, shout out to you, you know.
Was it your logo or was it a signature?
No, I guess like she took from all my albums, you know, I usually sign the front of them.
Uh-huh.
It was just a signature. It was called one side and then what's on the other. And I was like, man.
Like full cheek? Like took up the full cheek? Or
oh,
was it?
It was, I mean, it was big enough to read pretty plain. I went to Pittsburgh, so my education level is not so very, very good. But no, it was plain as day.
Awesome. Cabo, it seems to be like one of the more popular songs off the top, like one that people are really gravitating to. I love it. It's a good song.
Thank you.
I'm curious about when it comes to writing songs, how much creative privilege do you take on your own? I guess Cabo Real is what I'm getting at.
Yeah. Cabo
is real.
It is in a sense, but it's from different time. Like it wasn't just one trip that I went to Cabo and it was
to collaborate.
Yeah, it was kind of like a collaboration. And man, we wrote this song probably like two or three years ago. Kind of sit on it for a while, and then we kind of came up to it for this record. I wanted to do something that was completely different, that one song that just doesn't sound like the rest of the record.
Yeah.
So I'd been listening to a lot of spaghetti western stuff at that time.
It sounds like it, yes.
And I was like, you know, so let's kind of bring that into it, you know. And I wrote the song with Nicolette and Aaron, the only co-write I've ever done before. I'm terrible at writing with other people. I'm usually just writing by myself. But we get there and there, we try to write some stuff. Nothing's working. They're like, well, what'd you do this weekend? I was like, well, let me tell you about my vacation. And I went on this weekend. We were in Cabo. And so I started spitting out ideas. And then kind of from there, it was just kind of going on back on past experiences and just, you know, maybe everything in the story didn't happen in Cabo, but a lot of it did.
Yeah.
So I know I'm probably getting a lot of people in trouble just talking about it. But
they'll be all right.
I know.
Be all right.
Everybody that I've ever went to Cabo with is like, go just shut the hell up. Just shut up right where you are. I know. But it's a very genuine and real song. And you know, a lot of people don't do it. I feel like that's not being those stories aren't being told as much anymore.
Real
know?
Stories.
You know what I mean? Yeah, real stories. And so it was kind of like, honestly, I was kind of set back and I was like, should I put the song on the record? Should I not? You know, and then after it was kind of like, all right, yeah, we're going to do it.
You did it.
And completely blew me away that it was one of the bigger songs on the record.
Dude, it's huge. It's a huge song.
It's always the songs that you don't think are going to be the bigger ones turn out to be the biggest, you know?
Yeah.
Like Drunk Driving on Sellout, we had no idea. Columbia, Jeb, everybody was like, maybe we hold off on this song because maybe it's putting out the wrong message, but that wasn't what the song was about. You know, it was helping people cope with, you know, people they've lost, you know, drunk driving, or maybe just sending a message, maybe not to do it. But they're like, maybe it's just the wrong message to send. But it went gold within a year.
That's awesome.
Like it's crazy. So it's always the songs you don't expect to get big that blow up. So
blow up quick. Co Wetzel hanging out at Radio Texas Live. My buddy Logan. Co, you did 32. You had a massive tour, North American tour, headlining tour. Big stops, a lot of stops back east. New York, Philadelphia, Boston. How hard do New York Co fans go?
They go, honestly, they go really hard.
Like harder than East Texas fans?
No, absolutely not. Nobody goes harder than East Texas fans, dude. We're a different breed. No, but yeah. You would be surprised. There's more rednecks up north, honestly, than there are in the south, I feel like.
What size of venue did you play?
So we never played. So the New York show got canceled because of they brought back the COVID rules. So we played New Jersey, and we went and played Boston.
Uh-huh.
And we're sitting outside of New Jersey, and there's this limo pulls up with these monster tires on it. You know, like 20 people get out, and they're already drunk as hell, and you know, going crazy, and we get there, and it was wild. Yeah, there's way more crazy redneck folk out there than there are in East Texas, you know, or in the South, you know. So,
any wild stories from back east? Like something you didn't expect, somebody ran into?
Man, honestly, you know me, man. I'll stay out on the road, and I'll get drunk, I need to keep a journal. I need to start writing a journal.
You should journal, man. Dude, you should journal. Yeah,
I should, but I don't want to be that dude that's like the 30-year-old guy, the weird dude in the corner that's like, hey, come look at my diary. You know what I mean? Like, that's just not cool.
It's for posterity. You don't have to show anybody. They'll find it later.
Yeah, no, but I need to start writing this stuff down so I can remember it. But
my wife journals, and it's the best thing
really?
Ever. Because she remembers, like, she can go back. Like, I hate it, honestly. Because she goes back, like, 4 years ago. You remember when you said this?
Yeah.
Like, damn it. No, I don't.
I used to journal a lot, honestly. Like, and we were, I moved into a new house, and I had lost this book. It had, like, Ragweed and all these other songs that I had wrote and where it started to write at the time. And I journal. I think the first entry was, we're sitting here at the River Stage with Cody Johnson. We're behind on time right now. And I was like, and then like the next line is like, if we play 3 shows a week, you know, every single week, I'll quit drinking for a little bit. And I think Dre found it. He was like, well, this didn't age well at all.
Threw it away. This isn't working.
Yeah. He was like, no, that didn't age well at all.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So you just did a big show with Nelly. We got fans walking by waving at you.
What's up?
Big show with Nelly today. What's the wildest like person that you met that was a fan of yours that you didn't think would know who you were? I know you were hanging out with Ric Flair.
Ric Flair, yeah, Ric Flair's one. We just did the video with? Did you watch the video, The Road to El Paso? So Lance Bangs, the guy that does all Jackass's stuff.
Yeah,
he came in and we did an entire kind of like a short film with him. And he called me up and he was like, hey, man, I'm a big fan. Let's try and get this stuff together. And I was like, dude, I've been watching you since I was in middle school.
Right.
You know, this is awesome. David Koechner, he was the dude on Anchorman. It's like, whammy. You know, like, you know, I'm like, Dave England from Jackass. A lot of these folks, man, they were like, man, we love your stuff out here in L.A., man. It's awesome. So, you know, that was really cool to see how far that the music has gotten. And, you know, the caliber of people that are listening to it, you know, and I guess it doesn't register whenever you're meeting them or whatever, but it's just it's really cool, man. We're blessed as hell to be living the life we are and have the people listen to it.
Cool, man. It's going good so far.
Yeah, everything's been great, man. Cheers to everyone that's enjoyed the interview so far.
Cheers.
Cheers to everybody who's hated the interview so far. And the Cowboys. And here's to everybody else is going, Co Wetzel in country. Why is he on Radio Texas Live? You know, he's not country. You don't know what country he is. Cheers.
Cheers. Co Wetzel with us. It's Radio Texas Live. Co, you are a huge Cowboys fan. Did you get a chance to check out the Dallas Cowboys Traveling Hall of Fame we had here?
I didn't.
You didn't see it? Did you know about it?
No.
I told Jeb. I told Dre. That's on them. I was trying to make sure you got the word.
I'll kind of wonder like how much information is not getting passed down to me.
Yeah.
Probably because they're like, no, he doesn't need to. Yeah.
You probably could have checked it out.
Today, but. Honestly, I was very hungover. So I was like, man, I'm sleeping all day. I kind of put my phone on Do Not Disturb. And I know I had a lot of family and stuff coming out tonight. So I wanted to be around them and see them. So it was kind of like, let me get my rest
in the
day.
Catch up. Yeah.
Yeah, let me get my rest in the day so we can be having an interview this late tonight with Buddy.
Right. Cowboys, Cooper Rush doing good right now.
Yeah.
Holding it together. You're still Dak though. Dak's your boy.
Yeah, I am, but like the chemistry's so good right now and our defense is holding up so well. Like I say we kinda roll with Cooper, see what goes on, you know. I think after tomorrow, after LA, we'll really see where we're at, you know, as a team. And is Dak playing tomorrow?
I think Cooper.
He was trying to come back,
but he doesn't have to because Cooper's doing fine.
Well, yeah, but he's probably like it's kind of like a Romo and a Dak deal. Dude, he's probably like I don't want.
Now he knows how Tony felt. Now he knows how Tony. I don't think he's playing as exceptionally. Yeah, well. Like he's not like blowing him back.
No, but he's doing a great job. Yeah, but that goes back to we're stacked. Our entire team, man. From our defense is on a different level, man. They're crazy. The Zeke, the Tony Pollard switching, like whenever they're going back and forth. Micah Parsons is just a monster.
Yeah.
Like, you always know where number 11 is on the field.
You don't. He's everywhere. He's literally everywhere.
Dude, it's like, but that's it. Like it's ridiculous.
What, do you do fantasy football?
I don't. Man.
Have you ever?
No, everybody always hits me up about it. And I've never done it before.
Do you want to be in my fantasy league?
Yeah,
dude, you want to be
next year?
You want to be? I will get you in my league next year.
All right, but yeah, I'm in.
All right. So we also got to hit up the MD 2020. It was like 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah, how long has it been?
It's been at least 4 years, maybe 5 years. You guys showed up in the studio. You gave me a bottle of MD 2020, and you wrote on this, "We'll drink this when the Cowboys win the Super Bowl."
Oh, I think because that year we were like
we were supposed to win.
We were determined. Like we were supposed to win that year. Hell, we were supposed to win last year, you know? Like, and I was like, dude, every year. There's no telling how fermented that thing is.
Dude, it's nasty. Dude. I brought it. It's in my truck, though. I didn't bring it in here. I was gonna actually give it to you, dude, so you can check it out.
That thing is probably like...
It's nasty. Mad Dog 20. Mad MD, it was nasty 5 years ago.
Yes, whenever it was fresh. And now it's just been sitting on a counter.
Yeah.
There's no telling. Yeah, if they win a Super Bowl, we'll drink it and hopefully not go to jail.
No, hopefully not. Be dead. Co Wetzel with us, Radio Texas Live. So the end of El Paso, you did To Be Continued.
Yeah.
The pills I'm prescribed came from next door. Maybe, just maybe, they'll make me the man I used to be. But if they don't. Cough, cough, cough.
Yeah. Done.
Can you give us the next, can we get a couple lines?
Oh.
A couple lines from the Co Wetzel country song right now. I'm trying to remind you because I know
I think it's
dropping it on you.
I think it's because if they don't, then I'll take the blame. I know what's right and what's wrong, but it hurts me to say that I'm ashamed.
That's it right there.
I think that's it, yeah.
That's good, man.
Yeah, no. So the song, it's kind of like a sneak peek for the country record. So that's
that we are going to get 100% no matter what.
We are. I don't know when it's going to come, but we are going to get it. And so that'll be the very first song on the country record. We'll see. Like I said, it might be this year. It might be next year. You know me. You know how I am.
Dude, you do whatever you want. Dude, you recorded this album almost a year ago, and you just released it.
I know.
What was the deal with that? Why did it take so long to get it out?
We were recording so much with... We've been doing a lot of... we have the deal with Kodak Black and Diplo going down.
So what is going on with that? Because everyone knows that something's happening.
Yeah, the song's done. We went to Miami. We did the music video in Miami. That's done.
Are you guys killing zombies?
No, we're not killing zombies. We're driving around in a Jeep boat.
Nice.
So we got that, and then I did some stuff with Jelly Roll. We got a song. We haven't put a music video to it, but we just had so many things going on at the same time. We try to space it out to where it's like we have the record, and we have this song and that song.
Just to space it out.
Yeah, space it out to where, you know, we're constantly putting out music, so people aren't waiting, you know, for more of our stuff. But we have a lot of time off from like January to March, and I'll be in the studio most of all January and February, just making music, man. I told my manager, I was like, dude, book it. Just let me go out there. I'm going back out to Sonic Ranch. And you get out there, dude, it's 13,000 acres, a pecan plantation, just in the middle of nowhere. no bars, no distractions. You know, it's.
Are you gonna be sober when you go out there again?
I know you stopped drinking. Yeah. Well, so last time I was out there, so that's what I told him. I was like, now go out there, let me dry out, and I'm just ready to start writing music and recording and see what comes up. You know, in that amount of time, maybe I could write, you know, two records. You know, hopefully, but the main focus is the country record, obviously. But you know how I am, dude. I'm very.
Dude, you can't not give us a country album again.
I know. It's coming. It is going to come. I don't know if it'll be the next record, but it is. I promise you.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah, I know. That's what
already
I'm saying.
Already crawfishing over
See,
here.
See, I need to stop talking about it because the more I talk about it, I'm it's going to be that way, dude. I'm be sitting there, and next thing you know, it's going to be another El Paso, and everybody's going to be pissed off.
They're going to be mad. They're going to be mad. Cole Wetzel with us, Radio Texas Live. Real quick before you get out of here, Parker McCollum.
Yep.
He's got a new album coming out next year.
That's great.
Have you heard it?
I've heard it.
You've heard the entire thing.
It's good.
Because all we know is like three songs.
It's really good.
Do you know the title of the album?
I don't know. No.
Did he black it out when he gave it to you? Like he wouldn't even let you see it?
No, I can't remember. Maybe he did tell me, honestly, and I just forgot. I was like, oh, man, that's awesome. That's an awesome country name.
That's awesome the best album title
man.
Ever.
Yes, man. Why didn't I think about that? And then I just forgot. But no, the record is solid, man. It's really good. I think, did he release his new single yet?
A Handle on You?
No, that's his name. A Handle on You, but he's got one. That's Why I Stay Stoned or Stay Stoned.
We know that one's coming out.
It's coming. Yeah.
Yeah,
coming.
We know that's part
that
of it.
That one's a banger. But the entire record, man, it's Parker doing what Parker wants to do, you know. He moved out to Nashville. He didn't feed into all the hype out there around, you know, what's working for everybody else. Parker just stayed true to himself. So, and that definitely shows with this record. So, man, I'm proud of him. If you had any doubt in your mind about Parker McCollum, which nobody really did, but if you did, then this record is going to prove you wrong, no doubt.
It's so awesome to see you and Parker. We've been friends for a long time. I guess you guys actually met writing Love. Like you met right before you wrote Love together.
Yeah, so his tour manager, I was sleeping on his tour manager's couch, one of my good buddies, Jake Murphy. And he was like, dude, you got to meet P. He's cool. We go out, we go fishing.
This is when you guys, nobody knew who Coe and Parker were.
Well, Parker was starting, that's when he came out with like Meet You in the Middle and stuff, was starting to get steam in Texas. And man, he was like, man, I'm a fan. And I hit him up on Twitter, I think. I was like, man, we need to get together and put something down. And Love came out. And, you know, I can't thank him enough because that definitely helped me, you know, grow in Texas. And, man, we've been boys ever since. I talk to him, you know, every other day. And it's good to have somebody that's, you know, is going through the same stuff that you're going through, you know, as far as the fame and everything else that's going on. And, man, we're really blessed. We're just a bunch of Texas boys that got lucky, man, and we're just, you know, we're busting our ass to keep feeding this music to everybody, you know?
Awesome. Cole Wetzel, Radio Texas Live, man. Thank you so much.
Buddy, it's always a pleasure. You know that?
Hell yeah.
Yes, sir.